This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on our game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEF, that is B-L-E-A-V, BELIEF, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit of $250. BetOnline, the game starts here. Hello and welcome to Gegenpressing, the Bundesliga podcast. This is the main show, although it is also the transfer show. I'm Manu Feth, he's Stefan Bienkowski. Stefan, I am so excited to cover club football again. It's a month of tournaments is finally over and we can focus back on Bundesliga football, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, these international tournaments sometimes just kind of feel like a fever dream. Nothing makes sense. All your preconceptions about sports seem to be turned on their head. But yeah, it feels like we're kind of returning to the normal madness of domestic football, and how better to do that than to dive straight into the transfer window. And we should probably see the top of the show what we're kind of planning for the next kind of couple of weeks, shouldn't we? We are returning to the full schedule because obviously the Bundesliga is not back. So doing the usual Monday show would be pretty boring endeavor, since there's not much to talk about until I guess the Super Cup comes along, depending on how serious people take preseason friendlies, but we don't take them that seriously. So yeah, we're going to try and do two shows a week, two kind of transfer roundup shows, since that's the kind of gist of what happens right now. One will be free like this one, so for all listeners, and we'll be doing the other one for our subscribers, so that'll be a bonus show. But anyone who has signed up for the new season, fear not, we will be doing the full card of content in the coming weeks. This is just a kind of slow start to the new season. Get the ball rolling, pick up some momentum, and then by the time the Super Cup comes around, we'll be at full pace.
Yeah, no, totally. Also, obviously, the written content is fully back. Your article on Germany and what they can take away from the teams that finished ahead of them is already out, right? It's a great read. And then Matt is going to have his weekly newsletter return as well. I've read it already. I'm not going to give away what it is about, but it's great. It looks really good. It's really in depth, so really worth signing up for. And then obviously I'm going to have my newsletter coming back on Thursday as well. And it's probably going to be on Desiree Doué. A lot of people have asked about him, so I'm going to take a deep dive into him and what he's all about. We're going to mention and talk a little bit about him today too, right, Stefan? He's one of our topics. So, lots to get back into, and really excited to just write about the German teams again, the Bundesliga teams, and I have some really great content ideas for this season, and I think 2023-24 was such a good season for us, the really exciting season for the Bundesliga, although, you know, it didn't end with the crowning at Wembley. I think it was still a lot of fun that we got to cover the Bundesliga teams to the very end, right? And hopefully 2024-25 is going to be the same way. So really looking forward to it. Speaking of Dortmund, this is how we're going to kick off our show. Serhou Guirassy, the complications with his knee have been cleared by a second opinion. Patrick Berger, we should mention this, is reporting this, right, from Sky. I know Patrick personally, Stefan. If he reports this, it's pretty much set in stone. He's as good as a source as they come. And if you're not following him already, you should. If he's saying that the second medical has shown that, what did he say? The second medical has shown that Guirassy will not need a knee surgery. Stuttgart already informed, and they have to be just informed, right? Because there's an exit clause believed to be around 18 million euros that can now be triggered, which makes Guirassy a Dortmund player. A lot can be said about this transfer in particular. I think both you and I voiced our concerns in the past about it, right, Stefan? We'll see whether Serhou Guirassy can really replicate what he's done at Stuttgart, at Dortmund, especially with their army of other strikers that they already have to at their disposal.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. We've kind of talked about it as well in recent shows. It's been a long time coming. I saw the kind of transfer tweets kind of come rushing through this afternoon. You know, obviously all the reporters in Germany and Fabrizio Romano all saying, oh, well, who would have thought Guirassy's deal is now going through? He's now, Dortmund are pushing through. And, well, and, you know, obviously anyone who follows German football with even the slightest of interest would have known that this was inevitable. It was just a case of making sure that new injury wasn't anything concerning and getting it over the line. You know, part of me obviously is excited to see how well Guirassy does at Dortmund. I'd love to see him do well. It just feels like Dortmund have a whole kind of backlog of strikers that they really have to kind of clear out. You know, obviously, as you mentioned, Sebastian Haller, Niklas Füllkrug, Youssoufa Moukoko, to name, you know, just those three alone. Who's staying, who's going? You know, Dortmund have to obviously figure out if they do move on. I suspect Haller and Moukoko will probably move on, to be honest. It's just my hunch. And if they can find decent, you know, sellers to move those players on, then fair enough. Starting the season with Guirassy and Füllkrug is a decent kind of, you know, it's a decent number of options, I guess, is what I'm looking for. In that number nine position for Nuri Sahin, depending on what type of football he wants to play. But yeah, as we're about to talk about, and as we'd mentioned maybe on the last pod when we talked about this, it comes a huge surprise that Stuttgart have taken that money and spent it wisely.
Yeah, they have. They signed Emedin Demirovic today, right? Pretty much the moment the money showed up on their bank account for Sergio Guirassy, they went and took that and three additional million euros and signed Augsburg striker Emedin Demirovic. You know, I said tongue-in-cheek in our Gegen Pressing WhatsApp chat, this is the player that Dortmund should have signed. You know, because I actually think and I suspect that Demirovic could turn out to be an upgrade on Guirassy. Mind you though, as it was the case with Guirassy before he showed up at Dortmund, his body of work isn't at Stuttgart. Guirassy showing up at Stuttgart. His body of work wasn't that great, right? Last year, he scored 15 goals and 10 assists, but that was his greatest output so far. Previously, he managed 8 goals and 6 assists the season before that for Augsburg. And so, of course, people might say, well, is he just as much of a one-hit wonder than Guirassy was before he played at Stuttgart, right? And I would say maybe, but he's a lot younger. He's only 26, right? Just turned 26 this year too. And you see a progression here in terms of he's got his 14 goals and 7 assists in 28 games for St. Gallen in 2019-20. Then he moved back to the Bundesliga and then steadily improved that goal-scoring output, right? First at Freiburg and then in Augsburg. So, you know, there's a progression here that is quite clear, I think. And I think also that he's now going to a club that is a little bit better than Augsburg. And so I just sense that this is a player who has a clear trajectory, right? And I also think, and we will have to talk about that as well, if Stuttgart cannot get a deal over the line for Dennis Undav, he also kind of fits that profile a little bit as well, because he's a bit more multidimensional. He's not your typical number 9, right? He can play as a right winger, he can play as a left winger. He can also play as an attacking midfielder, which is a lot of the things that Undav can also do, right? Yet he's still quite tall. He's 1.85 meters. So he's a big package. I just feel like he's almost one of those strikers that are really complete. And on top of that, born and raised in Hamburg, you know, he don't need to integrate him. He's actually an RB Leipzig product, one of the early RB Leipzig products. So, Stefan, he's just a really interesting profile of a player. And I think Stuttgart have done really well here, securing him now rather than maybe in a couple of years when he's going to be really expensive.
Yeah, it seems like a really smart signing. as you mentioned, you know, he has steadily improved his goal scoring in Bundesliga, but it's also worth looking at the assists he's picked up, and those have been really impressive too. So, you know, as you mentioned, in Switzerland, he obviously had 14 goals, but in that final season, he also had 7 assists. And then actually in his first season back at Freiburg, he had 5 goals, but he also had 10 assists in that league campaign. Following campaign, he really struggled for game time for a number of reasons, so only picked up 2 goals and 3 assists. But then, you know, in the last 2 seasons at Augsburg, he had 8 goals and 6 assists, and then 15 goals and 10 assists. And I think that really goes to show what type of player we're talking about here. We're not talking about really a number 9 per se. We're not talking about a penalty box striker. We're not talking about a poacher. We're talking about like a kind of, I want to say maybe an inside forward, number 10, second striker, who can really kind of, as you said, play across that front line, can play on the right, can play in the left, can play in the pockets on either wing, and play off a player. And the really interesting thing is that I actually kind of had a look at him through Opta. I actually do a really cool player comparison. They have a player comparison tool on their website, and I stuck him in there. And the player that actually came out from a Bundesliga point of view was actually Yusuf Poulsen, in terms of the way that very similar in terms of their stats in the 23-24 season. And obviously, you know, that's not entirely surprising because they're both forwards in terms of, you know, their touches in the box, in terms of their goal scoring, in terms of their shots, but also in terms of how they create chances. But one of the reasons that he's been similar to Poulsen is that he's pretty decent at winning the ball in the air. He's pretty decent at winning the ball back, but he also stands out as a forward who really actually tends to average really high defensive actions per game. So he's obviously a very modern forward who's used to closing players down, who's used to intercepting, used to tackling, you know, used to playing that very kind of, as we would call it, gegenpressing style of football. And, you know, that will obviously be music to the ears of Sebastian Hoeneß and the Stuttgart fans, because that's exactly what they'll want to continue doing next season. And this is exactly what Stuttgart would have wanted to see if Guirassy was going to have to move on. If Dennis Undav wasn't going to be able to sign, it looks like they probably will still pick up Undav. The reports, Bild mentioned, you know, an offer of 23 million euros was rejected, and I think Brighton are holding out for 30 million, which, you know, Stuttgart might still be happy to pay. But even if they can't even get Undav, bringing in someone like Dimarovic is a really smart move, because he's a system player. He's a player who can fit into that, you know, that team. He can play on the left, the right, he can play up front, and you can just tell he's the kind of player that Sebastian Hoeneß would figuratively look forward to sinking his teeth into and really getting him working at his best and at his optimum potential for Stuttgart.
I think we should probably give an update on what's going on with Dennis Undav, right? Because that is an important piece, I think, of how this club is going to move forward. And it is a little bit of a complicated situation with Dennis Undav, because the way this deal worked is that Stuttgart had loaned him for 700,000 euros. Then they had an option to purchase him, right, at the end of the loan deal, which ran out this summer, for 20 million. But the problem is, if I understand this correctly, Brighton was able to then counter that purchase option with their own option for 25 million euros. So I guess Stuttgart did make some money on it, which means now this entire thing has to be renegotiated. As you said, Stuttgart have offered 23.5, I think, with some extras, and there is now some talk that Brighton will want between 25 and 30 million euros. If you're a Stuttgart fan and you worry about this, the CEO of the club, Alexander Werle, said last week that he is very optimistic that a deal can be done. Of course, they can't wait forever because, you know, they have to plan. But they are very optimistic that ultimately a deal can be struck. And Stefan, Dennis Undav has made it really clear he wants to stay in Stuttgart.
Yeah. This feels like one of these kind of deals we're just going to have to wait to see what happens when the dust settles and whether it's Brighton or Stuttgart will clear up what happened. Because if I'm not mistaken, I do remember Brighton saying at the start of the year that they actually denied any sort of release clause in the loan deal. So Or maybe there was one that expired, which is why the two clubs are now negotiating rather than just, you know, Stuttgart paying the set fee and it all being settled. Obviously, as well, Brighton were probably quite surprised at how well he's done this season. So they probably wanted a bit more money than they maybe were willing to part with at the start of the season. But yeah, you would hope that they can get it done. And, you know, if once Undav kind of rejoins the club, having him and Demirovic, you know, as the kind of two main strikers, there are obviously other players at the team at the club as well, you know, who obviously will probably get some sort of role as well. But to have those two players who are proven goal scorers, proven Bundesliga players, but then on top of that, two players who can play across that front three, yeah, it's really exciting for Stuttgart. And it actually will suit them really well in Europe as well, but they'll probably have to play more defensively. And have to play for more kind of, you know, sit back and counter attack, which is probably better suited to both these players as well.
I've been wondering about that, Stefan. Do we think we're going to see the rebirth of the two number nines, like we had in the 90s? You get more and more clubs kind of going the trend that way, signing more than one center forward and playing them at the same time, which. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Germany, for example, to always play with two number nines, you know, Klinsmann or Völler up front, for example, or Klinsmann and Kunz later on, or Klinsmann and Bierhoff. And then it kind of pivoted towards just one number nine and eventually none. And now then the one number nine returned, and now we're kind of returning to maybe two. You see that with a few more clubs trying to sign more number nines, I almost wonder if we're seeing a little bit of a return there.
Yeah, possibly. Well, it's kind of wait to see what happens. I mean, obviously, like I said, I mean, Undav's more like a number 10, I would say, or our second striker. And it'd be interesting to see if Demirovic, it's too late in the day for me to try and pronounce this word, put his name properly. If you maybe play off the right or plays an inside forward, because obviously got Fulrik as well. So they'd make a pretty dynamic front three going forwards. Maybe not as direct as Guirassy has been for Stuttgart, but. I think, you know, and a lot's been written about this, and we've talked about it a lot. And I just did a piece towards the end of last season, kind of underlining why Undav was more important than Guirassy in terms of, you know, when Guirassy stepped out of the team through injury, Stuttgart did kind of more or less tend to rumble on and do just fine because they had other attacking players in that team. So I would be hesitant to kind of, you know, call Demirovic, you know, a kind of direct replacement for Guirassy because they're very different types of players, I think. But I would almost say Demirovic is probably a player who's better suited to Sebastian Hoeneß's tactics and the way that Stuttgart probably want to play next season.
This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on our game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEF, that is BLEAV, BELIEF, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit of $250. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Yeah. No, it's all really interesting. I'm really looking forward to what they're doing in Stuttgart. Obviously, there's going to be a bit of turnover. They lost, amongst others, Hiroki Ito, right, to Bayern Munich. And they have some work still to do, but it looks like they're on the right track. Bayern Munich is the key word for our next topic. Désiré Doué, which I just learned Doué means the gifted one. That is, I guess, why everyone is after this kid. He's the latest hot prospect out of Stade Rennes. That's where Europe goes to shop if they want to pick up a gifted attacking midfielder or striker. Such an interesting player. Stade Rennes. If you play there, you obviously going to get on everyone's radar very quickly. part of me is surprised maybe that Bayern Munich are going yet after another winger. Part of me also thinks it's only consequential given where what we've seen from their wingers last season, essentially, especially with Leroy Sané and Serge Gnabry picking up several injuries. And Sané, of course, struggled his way through the Euros, right? Never looked 100% fit. And is on a very big salary. The same can be said about Kingsley Coman, who was on a big salary, and Serge Gnabry too, of course, is on a big salary. We hear so much about that's coming out of the Bayern Munich camp, and as they are rebuilding and restructuring and making this roster younger, how much they want to shed salary in order to go forward, right? And although this is an expensive player, 60 million euros is no small cash, in particular when you consider that Bayern Munich have already spent in the region of 150 million euros this summer, right? But you kind of see the plan here a little bit with this guy, Stefan. I feel that this is maybe another piece in the puzzle of Max Eberl and Christoph Freund trying to restructure a team that is probably just too old, and just needs fresh blood and needs some players whisked out sooner rather than later, and just add pieces that can instantly make this team better, or at least, you know, in the short term, make this team better. And if you can get Doué, and that's by no means a given, considering who your competition is, that is going to be, I think, a really big and significant piece of what is a significant rebuild.
Yeah, he's an immensely talented young player. You know, obviously it would be a huge signing for Bayern if they are able to kind of pick him up. They've been linked with a lot of players, it must be said, at this point. A lot of kind of big profile players. You know, Xabi Simmons is one who still seems to be kind of lingering as well. Quite a lot of talk as to what's going to happen there. And I think the interesting, and it is an interesting kind of thought exercise to kind of figure out how he fits into this team. On paper, he's a left winger, and on paper, Bayern have, I mean, I'm looking at the squad in front of me, I can count at least five players in the senior squad right now who are first team players. Some of them are obviously young players, but we're still talking about guys like Kingsley Coman, Matthias Tell, Brian Zaragoza, remember him? He still hasn't really had a shot, and that's without even considering guys like Serge Gnabry and Leroy Sané, who can obviously play in those positions too. But I think the interesting thing about him is that Doué can really play across the entire pitch. If you kind of look at his game time at Ron, he's played, you know, I think in a total of 76 senior games, 15 starts on the left, 10 starts, 18 starts through the middle, 6 on the right, a few as a kind of false nine. So, you know, he really can play across the pitch. And what really stands out to me in terms of what he's really fantastic at is just an exceptional dribbler of the ball, exceptional close control, exceptional technique. And, you know, not entirely different from, you know, the young man that Stuttgart just signed that we talked about a minute ago. They're a very kind of capable player of playing across the pitch, which might really be necessary for Bayern next season or this coming season if we do expect him to move on guys like Kingsley Coman, potentially Serge Gnabry as well. You know, it may just be in Vincent Kompany's preference to have players who can play a number of positions. And it's also worth pointing out that our colleague Ewan Robertson actually did a really good profile on the guy for Transfermarkt. And he actually spoke to our French team, and I can actually just read out some of the quotes that they said, which might intrigue some Bayern fans. I would really implore you to go to read it. You can find out if you just go to Desiree Doué's profile page on Transfermarkt and go to the news tab. It should be in there. But Ronan Karoff, who's one of our French football experts, said, in Ron, Desiree is regarded as one of the best prospects in the wild, probably on a par with Ousmane Dembele and Eduardo Camavinga. He's creative, agile, and can play in various attacking positions. You know, he goes on to talk about Jeremy Doku's 60 million move set a precedent in Ron, and they're probably aiming for a higher fee than that. And it's worth noting that he has been heavily linked to Arsenal and Tottenham here in the UK. So, you know, it remains to be seen how much Bayern may end up having to pay for him, but he actually strikes me as a perfect signing for Bayern if Serge Gnabry and Kingsley Coman move on, because those are two players who've obviously played a number of positions for Bayern over the years, and their ability to kind of fill in where necessary is part of why they've both been such great servants to the club. I mean, I know on their day they would have kind of their own preferred positions, and we had the whole fiasco with Serge Gnabry wanting to play as, you know, as a striker and things like that. But Kingsley Coman in particular, I think he's such an almost an underrated player because the way he's always been happy just to come on, play their wing, put a shift in, and just be Mr. Consistent for most of the time. And it'll be interesting to see if, for example, if Kompany does want to give more game time to Matthijs Tel, does want to give more game time to Brian Zaragoza, maybe doesn't want to rush Michael Olise in because he's moving to a new country, playing a new league, certainly new standards at Bayern compared to Crystal Palace. If you have someone like Desiré Doué who can play across both wings and even through the middle, perhaps, if the likes of Leroy Sané drop off, then it makes a huge difference in terms of the options that Bayern have. And as we know, that's something that Thomas Tuchel was constantly complaining about last season, with every right to do so. He is justified to do so. So yeah, I'm sure he would have absolutely adored having guys like Mike Wallace or you know, Desiré Doué in his team. So yeah, it looks like a really smart sign for a number of reasons.
And you mentioned the English interest. It looks like Bayern's biggest competitor for the signing is PSG. They made a bid today, which is 40 million plus 10 million add-ons. I think Bayern, from what I've been told, they're willing to go as high as 60. So, you know, it really, I guess, depends on what PSG are going to do here. There's also, I think, some word that Doué prefers going to Munich over PSG. There seems to be some sort of anti-magnetic force for young French players wanting to join PSG. Stefan, because I don't know how they do it, but it just seems like whenever there is a young French player, they do everything in their power to not go there. And I guess the last, really last example of a big young talent that they picked up was Kylian Mbappe, right? Who's now, of course, at Real Madrid. It's just such an oddity. And I guess if PSG do manage to get Doué, what does that mean for this other really talented attacking midfielder that they already have under contract and Javi Simmons, and what his future is, which is something that at some point we will probably have to discuss when we get closer to his decision, which he said would be after the Euros, right? It's just such a weird place to compete with that club, because Bayern's plan B is the very player. If Doué doesn't work out, it seems like that Simmons might be the plan B here, or is it maybe even the plan A regardless? But yeah, I just find it really kind of fascinating that the competing elements here between, you know, Bayern Munich and PSG, right, at the moment fighting for this young French attacking player. And all it comes into the same time too, where Bayern Munich, and you know, I'm planning to write on this as well because I think it's very fascinating, is trying to restructure the youth development significantly at the campus, right? They brought in new people to oversee the development of players there. They want to develop more players themselves because they simply cannot compete with the likes of the big Premier League clubs every summer. And that's, you know, even though they are going towards spending a record amount of money on the transfer window as we speak, right? I think they're already nearing that. But it's a really interesting in all this context of what's going on at the club right now, because they're still being linked with all these really big name signings, and there is a really good chance that it will be Doué and someone else, right? Whether that's Simmons or maybe Olmo. And then we're talking about another 120 million euros paid for new players. So that would get, if I have it right in my head, that would be 170 million euros spent on new players by Bayern Munich this summer, which is an extraordinary amount of money.
Yeah, and the interesting thing as well is that they've spent that much money without actually signing a striker yet. And that's really the one position in this team that Bayern desperately do need a backup. I'm actually quite surprised they weren't tempted to make a go of Guirassy, because he would have been the perfect kind of bench warmer to kind of come in for Harry Kane. And I say bench warmer semi-seriously, because I suspect after the Euros that Harry Kane had, and I realise there's still a good month to go before the season returns, plenty of time to recoup, but Harry Kane really began to look jaded. He looked tired. He looked like he was carrying an injury. And there's quite a lot of talk here in the UK that whether he's just naturally beginning to properly slow down. And Gary Lineker, who's one of the kind of high-profile pundits here in the UK, who was, you know, one of England's greatest ever strikers, made a note saying that when he got to Harry Kane's age, he noticed a huge drop-off in his physicality and his ability to get rid of the pitch. I'm not sure I'm ready to kind of quite ring the alarm bells just yet in that regard. But in terms of his fitness and injury concerns, I'd be quite concerned if Bayern went into the season without anyone in that position. I do suspect that looking at the signings that Bayern have made and are looking to make, Vincent Kompany will undoubtedly try to implement a kind of style of football that we saw under Pep Guardiola. It's really the only reason that he's been given the job, I suspect, because he can say on paper he knows how to set up a team like Pep Guardiola did. And that will obviously be a case of Bayern really overimposing themselves on team, very, very possession-based, and playing the ball around the opposing box, which is why guys like Michael Olise and Desiree and maybe Xavi Simons make sense, because in that case, you want a lot of very technical players, wide forwards, inside forwards, number 10s, who can make the most in a crowded box. I completely understand why that would be more intriguing than maybe out-and-out wingers. And obviously older players who maybe aren't as sharp as they once used to be. So maybe that's why, you know, guys like Kingsley Coman and Serge Gnabry would be moved on. And also perhaps how you get the best out of Harry Kane. You know, he doesn't have to do a lot of movement if Bayern are still only 10 feet away from the opposing goalman for 80 or 90 minutes of the game. But that's still the kind of thing that's made me raise an eyebrow. A lot of money's been spent and still not much of it's been allocated to picking up a second striker, which I understand historically has always been a difficult position for Bayern to fill. There's not a lot of Sandro Wagners out there, but yeah, it's an odd one. It's a really odd one, which is definitely something to keep in mind as the summer window rumbles on, I think.
I mind you do that. What Lineker said was also, there was a few people on doing the Euros on German TV as well. Didi Hamann was one. Voiced concerns about Harry Kane's longevity and whether the 100 million euro investment, as great as it was last season, is something that could backfire for Bayern Munich in the medium, or maybe now, because we've already through the first season in the short term, right? His performances or lack thereof, I thought, were really noticeable. And I think that this England team, with a more difficult tournament path, would have gone out far earlier than they did. You know, and this is not a hot take. I mean, they took 6 minutes of weird extra time to beat Slovakia in the round of 16, right? And there was no Harry Kane. It was a Bellingham stroke of genius that would eventually rescue them and move them on into extra time where they did win. It's just, it is something that I think a lot of it will depend on Harry Kane's recovery this summer, which I think will be crucial. And I don't think you will be able to play him as much next year. If you don't want to run into a situation where he is not fit in a semi-final against Real Madrid, I think you will have to manage his minutes very differently, Stefan. Otherwise, I think you go into you run into the problem that in his final year of his contract, the year after next, you might not have a fit player at all, right? And I think that is something that Bayern Munich and the board and a lot of people will come to have to grapple with next year, that you can't maybe play him in 30-plus Bundesliga games. It's just not going to be possible. And so, yeah, I think that is maybe something that at one point soon we might have to really revisit as a podcast even, you know, to look at Harry Kane and his longevity and this, how this contract will look eventually, because I do think that is something that's concerning.
Yeah. You know, I made a kind of comment about this after the final and some Bayern fans actually took issue with it, but I think it was just right. some there was some stats saying, you know, how many goals Harry Kane had scored, and no player scored more goals than Harry Kane in the competition. I made this point in my newsletter, and I basically said, look, goals are overrated. And it's a kind of funny thing to say, but it is worth bearing in mind that, you know, Harry Kane scored an astronomical amount of goals last season, and he did what he's paid to do, but the modern game often makes a point of saying that, you know, strikers can continue doing what they do on the pitch, but sometimes they just don't have the influence to win games and in these crunch matches. And I don't want to kind of tumble down a rabbit hole and start talking about Harry Kane's use for Bayern and whether true number nines are still relevant at the top of the game. But like I said, something to keep an eye on. It'd be interesting to see what he's like when he gets back to Bayern, when he checks in for a preseason tour, and what company has to say about his fitness. But yeah, I mean, it'd be great if they could pull some youngster out of the academy and give him game time. And obviously there are kind of players on that team who can fill in. Obviously Serge Gnabry can play as a striker if called upon. But yeah, it's just something to keep an eye on, I think.
No, absolutely. Something to keep an eye on, something to watch maybe in this transfer window as well, on how Bayern are going to address this issue. And, you know, maybe also throughout the season, which is why it's great that we are back reporting about Bundesliga football, because and we think there's a lot of storylines that we can watch that have maybe emerged from these Euros, but also from club football as well. So, Stefan, it's been fun getting back into it. As always, this show is brought to you by Bet Online. As Stefan mentioned on the top of the show, the transfer show will be available for all throughout the summer. Until the Bundesliga season comes back, then this will be the main show where we discuss the match days. Of course, the preview show will be back as well, and then these transfer shows and bonus shows will go back behind the paywall. So if you are considering getting this content on a regular, please consider taking out a subscription and our Substack. There's lots of great content on there. Lots of great in-depth content by Stefan, Matt, and myself. And yeah, I'm just happy to have the Bundesliga back, Stefan. I think second Bundesliga starts in 2 weeks. So it is coming quick.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got stuff lined up for that as well. So if you are a SV Bundesliga fan, keep an eye on this space.
Absolutely. And until then, auf Wiedersehen.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.